Hello, good morning, everyone. Before I start this morning's devotional, I'll just open us up in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, just thank you for this morning. Thank you for giving us the strength to get up early and to come and seek your face and spend this time in prayer and devotional. We pray that you'll speak to us through your word today. Lord, use me to just impart your thoughts and your words into the people here in this audience this morning. We thank you, we love you, in Jesus' name we pray. So today, if you turn in your one books to Wednesday 29th of February, I'll start by reading the scriptures, which is from Mark chapter 2, 13 to 17, and then I'll read the devotion as well. So today's title is called God's Word or My Convictions. Jesus went out again beside the sea. The whole crowd gathered around him, and he taught them. As he was walking along, he saw Levi, son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me," and he got up and followed him. And as he sat at dinner in Levi's house, many tax collectors and sinners were also sitting with Jesus and his disciples, for there were many who followed him. When the scribes of the Pharisees saw that he was eating with sinners and tax collectors, they said to his disciples, "Why does he eat with tax collectors and sinners?" When Jesus heard this, he said to them, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I have come to call not the righteous, but sinners." During Jesus' time, tax collectors were classified as social outcasts, together with prostitutes and lepers. So when Jesus accepted Levi's invitation to dinner, the Pharisees could not accept his choice of company. However, the Pharisees were acting on the basis of prejudice, and there was no room for discussion. Their religious convictions came from a tunneled understanding of Scripture, and they often took biblical texts out of context to suit their accepted practices and worldview. Obviously, what was missing from the Pharisees' action was a humble obedience to God's word, even when it challenged and overturned their norms. The word of God is the foundational stone. It is also often countercultural, confronting our attitudes and responses towards others. As such, choosing to be obedient to my master involves letting go of my religious convictions and prejudices, whatever the personal cost. All right, so as I was just, again, going through the passage, it's quite funny because I was able to share last week on the first calling of disciples, and again, in the beginning here, there's another calling of another disciple, Levi, who he later knows as known as Matthew. But if we just start at the very beginning, Mark chapter 2, it goes on from where Jesus left off in his ministry before, and we can see that already his ministry in verse 13, which is the first sentence, is starting to gather momentum. In the passage before the end of Mark chapter 1 and the beginning of this chapter, chapter 2, there are already miraculous healings of a leper and a paralytic. So already Jesus is demonstrating not just his teachings, but also the physical sort of miracle healings that he's able to do through God's strength. So it's early days yet, but already we can see that there are crowds gathered around him, and we see that he is a teacher, as it says that he taught them. He then obviously moves along to see Levi sitting in his tax booth. And as I said, this is one of the first disciples again that he calls. It's quite just a bit of background. So in the day when the scriptures describe here, tax collectors were classified as basically sinners, as bad as a leper, as bad as a prostitute. Basically, tax collectors were usually Jewish, and they were therefore hated by their own people. They collected taxes for Rome, and they turned over the money they need to give to the Roman Empire. But also, they would extortion monies for themselves, because that would be their means of drawing down a salary. So they were known to be basically thieves, and they're known to be cheats. And also, basically, since that they were in relationship with Rome, who were Gentiles in the eyes of the Jews, it was even worse for the Jewish people. And so they were treated with a similar disdain to what at the time the worst of the sinners were called, like sinners and prostitutes. Levi, as you may or may not know, is also known as Matthew. So not only was he one of the disciples, but he was the writer of the Gospel of Matthew, the first book in the New Testament. As we saw before with the other disciples that Jesus called, God can use anyone. In this case, a sinner in the world's eyes, a sinner in the eyes of the community, went on to become one of his disciples, and not only that, to become the writer of the first book of the New Testament. And so, again, we can draw from that, that no matter where we are in our life, no matter what our background is, God can redeem our lives and use us for his work. Again, like with the other disciples that we talked about last week, we see an immediate obedience to Jesus' command. He just said, "Follow me," and immediately Levi got up and followed him. We know that he left behind his job, he left behind his finances, even, as we read a little bit later, left behind his wealth, simply to follow Jesus. If we go down a little bit further, it says that they sat at dinner in Levi's house, and there were many tax collectors and sinners, and many others who followed him. So we can just imagine that he must have had a fairly large house to be able to host and provide dinner for all these people. So not only was, as I said, he giving up a vocation, he was giving up the worldly wealth that he accumulated, the house that he lived in. It also shows how, in this case, and we see another case later in the scriptures, that Jesus can bring instant sort of transformation to people. One day, one morning, he's sitting there in his booth collecting taxes, and by that same evening, he's opening up his home to many people, to people he doesn't even know, and providing dinner for them. We can also see that happening along the similar lines of the story of Zacchaeus in Luke 19, where there's instant transformation. Just an encounter with Jesus brings some change in his heart and his spirit to give away his wealth and to really repent and follow Christ in that manner. And then we move on to verse sort of 16, which is, talks about the Pharisees. The Pharisees, obviously seeing that Jesus was eating with the sort of the sinners of the world and the tax collectors, basically went along the lines of effectively judging Jesus and judging that people group. I guess we can see, as we know throughout the scriptures, that there's not only an air of hypocrisy in their thinking, but also a spirit of religion. They're more bound by what needs to be done or not be done, who you need to speak to or not speak to, rather than the ministry of grace and the ministry of mercy that God and Jesus brings. Reflecting on this passage, which is, I think, is the main verse that the devotional really sort of dwells on, I think, personally, there are many times where I have the same attitude, many times where we may have the same attitude. We can always overhype our faith. We can always compare our righteousness to others simply by the things we do, like how much we pray, how much we fast, how much we give, how much we serve. We can always have that attitude if we're in the wrong place of comparing how religious we are and place more importance on the works themselves and actually on the ministry of grace. As we know in the scriptures, God looks at the heart, whereas man looks at the outside appearance. In 1 Samuel 16, verse 7, it said, "The Lord doesn't look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart." And the Pharisees firmly placed the opposite in aspect of their religion and their faith. They were more concerned about their outward appearance, about their outward appearance of piety and righteousness, rather than what was really going down deep in their souls and recognizing that they were every much a sinner as these other people they considered to be sinners. And in the final verse, verse 17, obviously Jesus replies, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I've come to call not the righteous, but sinners." I feel the biggest mistake the Pharisees made here was a lack of recognition that they were also sinners in the same class as the tax collectors, the same class as the prostitutes and lepers. They were every much as sick as they were, but they failed to recognize that. In Romans 3:10, Paul says, "There's no one righteous, not even one." Sinners separate every single person on earth from God, and we all need the grace of Jesus to bring us to him. But yet, through a spirit of religion, through a spirit of works rather than grace and mercy, we can sometimes fail to recognize that. And the Pharisees, likewise, through their self-righteousness, through their piety, through hypocrisy, they failed to recognize that the sick that Jesus mentioned encompassed them as well. It wasn't just who they perceived to be sick. Paul also reminds us in Galatians 2:16, says, "A person is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. So we too have put our faith in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law, because by the works of the law no one will be justified." Let's just recognize once more, as we come to a close on this devotional, that it's not necessarily the things that we do that justifies our faith. It's not the rest of the things that we do that brings us into relationship with Christ, but it's a faith-based ministry. It's a mercy-based ministry. Obviously, the acts of religion, the acts of Christianity are important in our lives. You know, being able to pray, spending time to serve, spending time to give, spending time to fast and read the scriptures. But it's not in the act of themselves that our faith and our religion is defined. Let's just spend a moment just recognizing that. And as Monica comes and leads into a song of worship, we'll just have a time of reflection.
And come breathe in me, and I.
as Monica plays, why don't we just reflect on the points that were in devotional today. What are my so-called religious convictions and prejudices that I place on par with Scripture? Am I ready and willing to accept what God reveals to me, even when it appears to go against my culture's view of Christian convention? And so let's just spend the time also reflection. Is there anything in my attitude of my faith where I'm placing above the grace of God? You know, I'm placing an act or a deed above the fact that His grace covers all, and it's His grace that calls us into salvation. So let's just spend a moment just reflecting on those as we pray. Lord God, we just confess that we have tendencies to run ahead, to voice our own preferences and our opinions. So God, we ask you to guide us, to help us along this path, to direct us so that, you know, there's no mistakes in speech or deed, and that our lives be ordered by your word. We recognize that once again, it's your grace that calls us into salvation. It's not of any works that we've done ourselves, but it's through faith in Christ that we are called to be saved. So help us in that today, Lord. Help us in that every day. And may we continue to become more and more like you through this process. In Jesus' name we pray. Let's just turn to the prayer for the community. Let's pray and cover those members of our families here at Solomon's Porch who have got cancer, who have got growths, who are going through chemo and radiotherapy. Let's pray for God's healing hand and His amazing grace to provide restoration and redemption and full healing to all our members of our community here. Let's just cover them right now. Let's cover the members of our community who need spiritual healing as well, salvation, for those who are sick and also for those who need provision in the area of jobs. Let's cover our community members as well. Thank you. is turn to our mission focus. Let's cover the nation of Cambodia, for Pastor O and New Life Church, for Pastor Tang and the Center of Peace Orphanage, for Grace and Bloom, also for the Philippines, for Solomon's Clinic that Elder Jang is in charge of, and also for Bhutan and Tom Bonnet, who's out there doing ministry as well. Let's cover these nations and the ministers there. Let's also cover the SP Ministries. Let's pray for the IP team and for Matt as they really just cover this church in prayer and pray for new members to rise up and for that ministry to grow. For the Cascade Ministry, for Leanne and also Becky, that they can continue to bring more people into just fullness of healing, just inner healing and freedom, and this, they can be used as ministers of that. And for the world and for Larry and all the new members who have joined, let's just pray that we truly see God's manifest presence here on Sundays, that physical healings are a regular occurrence, and for those who are sick, they can come and call in the name of God and call in the name of Jesus and be healed. And let's especially lift up to the Lord the local outreach team and Pastor Sophia. Just pray this year for them, through the monthly outreaches, through their communication with the Hong Kong churches, that more and more people come to know Christ. Let's pray that our congregation as well has a heart to serve in this ministry and to really look out to the areas that we live in Hong Kong and really just to bless and minister to those who don't know Jesus here in this city that we live in. Let's just pray for these ministries right now. Thank you. And let's also pray for our house churches that are meeting tonight. Let's pray for Causeway Bay, for Andrew and Carmen, for McDaddy, for Kenny and Janie and McRobinson, Brian and Trish, Shagunta, for Tom, I think he's co-leading with Jesse at the moment, and for Waterfront, for Karen and Mary and Ashley there. Let's just pray for each of these house church meetings this evening. Let's bless the leaders. Let's bless the members who are going to be able to attend. Let's just pray that schedules are cleared up for those who can't make it at this moment in time. Let's just pray that each meeting tonight there's an encounter with God, an encounter with Jesus, that it's a wonderful time of fellowship, wonderful time of reflection on the wonderful words that Pastor Min gave us this weekend, a dedicated time of prayer, and that, you know, more people come to know the fellowship of Koinonia, the community of Christ, through our house churches tonight. Let's just bless the leaders and the members and the groups that are meeting tonight. Lord Father, once more we thank you for today. We thank you once more that through your word we recognize that your ministry is the ministry of faith and grace and not of works. And that's just such good news to us, Lord Father. There's nothing that we can do to earn your love or earn salvation, nothing that we can work at or strive at, but to believe in our hearts and confess with our lips. And that's all we need to do, Lord. So, Lord, I just pray you just bless the members of the congregation here today as they go into their workplaces, go into their schools, that can truly be the light and salt there today, that they can really start to live in the fullness of that grace and that mercy, Lord. Lord, we thank you. Just continue to speak to us throughout this week. Continue to just shine your light in our hearts, and may we just shine that light to the people that we encounter. Lord, we love you. Thank you. We lift up this entire day to you. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray.